Good evening, everybody. As always, we have folks in the room for our board meeting. This is a special board meeting to consider FSMA's reopening plan. And if I may, let me double check, make sure I've got folks. I've got Reggie, Hans, Katie, board members on Zoom, and Stacy also on Zoom. Anyone else on Zoom?
Blair Newman.
Okay, Blair,
and,
hey.
And Patty Hampshire.
All right. Oh, Miss Patty's on. Okay. Wonderful. And in the room, of course, board members Chris, myself, Jim, VW, Leslie, and Kevin, along with the Colonel. So with that said, guys, as always, let me begin with a calling the meeting to order. And a moment of silence, please. Thank you. All right, guys, the agenda was sent out previous. Do I have any additions, corrections to the agenda as presented? And before I say that, well, I'll get to it in a minute. Remember, agenda items may not be considered in sequence. This agenda is subject to change. These may include the addition or deletion items, including executive sessions. Any deletions, changes to the agenda before us? Right, seeing none, do I have a motion to accept the agenda?
Motion.
I got a motion, second.
Second.
I got a second. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Any, and Zoom, how we doing, guys? Either thumbs up or Pat.
Yeah, Reggie's good. Hans is good. Trying to get some to ask. I did something here.
Uh-oh. No worries. I will assume that Katie was good. All right. We don't have any special guests with us, I don't believe, except for Blair Newman and Patty Asher on Zoom with us today. Secretary, so we had minutes that were presented. I have a copy. Any additions, changes to minutes that came from our last board meeting? I figured we'd get these approved from the 28th July. I'll let everybody take a quick moment if there are any additions or changes to the 28th July minutes. Cool. Do I have a motion to accept the minutes as presented?
Motion.
All right, I got a motion. Do I have a second? I got a second. Any discussion of the motion? Seeing none. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. And how are we doing on Zoom? Thumbs up?
Yeah, thumbs up. Katie, can you unmute yourself? Hans and Reggie are good.
All right, I'll pass, great. Okay, guys, wonderful. Next on the agenda is the public comment period. Public comment period is now open. The only two members that I'm aware of at the moment are Blair and Patty. Miss Patty, do you want to say anything this evening? Okay, cool, no worries. Hey Blair, anything for public comment period, sir?
No, sir, I'm good, thanks.
All right, thank you, sir. Right, seeing none other, pardon me, the public comment period is now closed, and we will now move to the agenda. And Pat, we are to you, sir. Oh, before you do, that's right, I was going to say a few things. A couple of things I wanted to talk about real quick before Pat gets into his discussion about how we're going to open. First, we are doing this Zoom and live, and as you, some people are aware, one of our sister schools was conducting a Zoom meeting, and that was hijacked, and I guess what they call Zoom bombed, or is that the correct term now? Bombing a Zoom meeting, whatever it is, and absolutely was disruptive. If this occurs during our meeting this evening, we will immediately cease. We will not continue on. We will all leave the meeting. I will call for a close, and then we will reconvene at another time and place suitable for the board to attend and anybody else with proper notice. But I will not and do not want the meeting to continue on for 20, 30, or 40 minutes while it continues to be Zoom bombed, and we're trying to figure out how to stop that. So we would immediately, I guess, call the meeting to an end. Second item. I will tell you that as we get into this document, as we get into what the school year is going to look like, I actually have a number of questions in for the document and for our discussion tonight. But I can tell you that I know we will not have all the answers. I know that there are going to be some questions that some of us are going to ask, and we just may not or are not going to have an answer to them. I will tell you, I'm still comfortable with us proceeding and moving forward, even though we may not have the answer to everything that comes up tonight. As you guys are well aware, I feel very strongly about getting our cadets in this building and getting us open and moving in that direction as best we can. I know there are some that do not think that is a good idea, and I know others that are on the other side of that spectrum and can't understand why we are not 100% capacity and moving forward. However, you do have a construct. The construct's been given to us by DOE, and they have also said to us, you all have the ability, and I would offer the authority to establish how you're going to come back to school. And that is essentially what we're going to be talking about tonight, is how we're going to do it. So with that said, I ask guys on Zoom, please make sure that you unmute, that you speak clearly. I think I recognize everybody's voices, but just in case, I may say, all right, who's talking? And let me know. And with that, Pat, to you. I assume you're bringing up the PowerPoint.
I am.
Okay. So for you guys that have got the PowerPoint on your screen, for the rest of us who are still in the 1850s, paper. No worries.
You have a color copy. You have 1950s, not black and white.
Oh, okay. Well, yes, I do have a color copy. I was very excited that it was color. I don't know how that happened. I just hit print, and the machine did it for me. I didn't actually have to select blue or red.
Sorry.
No worries. We're good. We're good.
Sorry about that. So I had some technical difficulties. This process, as you know, that the state had its three meetings for the most part of months of June and into July. Once those meetings concluded, we started our own working groups, and we were formulating ideas. So I want you to know, as we go into this, there was a lot of thought put into this from a lot of people, and it's not necessarily that everybody is happy with it. I will tell you, this is, we were talking that the best effort that we can have going forward in the hybrid model. So, first priority, of course, is health, safety, and wellness protocols drives the steps we take to build a hybrid model that incorporates the most important aspects of our school while limiting the number of cadets per day to reduce the risk. We want to provide a safe and supportive learning environment for all cadets and our staff, and of course that most importantly prepares our cadets for success.
As you can see on the right, I put it just in a reopening at a glance, and some of the things that, you know, when we talk about our health and safety protocols that we need to think about on a daily basis, these are things that we're going to have to discuss, and we're going to have to educate the cadets on, because it's something we're going to have to do every day when they come in.
All right, Pat, I hate to say it. So will this document be placed into, well, it's already in the public domain, but is this going to be the base document that we're going to use to educate our families and anybody outside of the school and all that sort of stuff?
That is correct.
Okay. So one of the things that comes to mind right up is that this reopening at a glance, this is just technical stuff, and it's not the meat of your presentation. It's quite frankly too small. And I don't know whether the reopening at a glance ought to be its own separate slide, or whether it should be that it should be a summary page, either at the back, maybe, and consider it. So this is what we talked about, and this is a summary reopening, and it's the last slide, and it recaptures and incorporates what the body of the PowerPoint created. It's just, it's a technical piece, but I hate to say it, I'm sort of trying to focus, and my arms are not long enough anymore, and I cannot get close enough. Now, of course, you know, Barry's looking at me saying, I can read just fine. I don't know what your problem is.
It's reading glasses. I understand.
But yes.
It might be well as like a poster that you put on your front door.
Yes.
Something that people can read to say
it's a great graphic.
The elements that you're doing.
Yeah.
I think that, to me, that's what I thought it was. I actually didn't think I was supposed to read it on this deck. I thought it was like a piece of material you were going to create and send out as a guide. So I like that it's all on one page.
Yeah.
Ms. Clark, I'm going to give her the credit. She's the one that built the graphic, did a nice job.
It's a great graphic. Yes. I just wanted to ask about sort of its placement. All right.
All right. So, of course, the background. And, you know, we come up with a problem statement. What steps do we need to take to build a hybrid schedule that incorporates the most critical aspects of our school? And, you know, that's a I don't want to get any misideas going here when I talk about critical aspects of our school. Because, and I want to describe that. So let's talk about school. What does school mean to you? Well, what school means to me is teachers, academics, instruction, assessment, hitting all the core classes and the extracurriculars that, you know, we have come to know in school, the same things we participated in as we were growing up. So when I say school, that's already in there. That's a part of it. And, you know, we started this school and came up with the idea and the thoughts and the board built the mission and purpose. We created the idea of a school that, okay, we have that piece of school that we know, but we want a little bit more than what other people do. And that's First State Military Academy, and that's what makes up our difference. So when I talk about the most critical aspect of it, please understand that I'm talking about our mission and purpose and our cultures and relationships, which I feel and I believe that separates us from other schools, without a doubt. And so, you know, I don't want anybody to come across with the wrong idea, thinking that, well, because you're saying this is the critical parts that you don't care academically. No, that's not the case at all. The case is all is that we're looking at that critical aspect. So, how do we create an environment that honors our mission and purpose, builds our culture, develops our relationships, supports our community, and provides high-level instruction while allowing us to shift to unforeseen circumstances that may arise? And we're going to explain that, and that's flexibility at the end there. So we want a plan that incorporates all those and, of course, is flexible to boot. We want to develop a schedule that provides a virtual learning model while at the same time meets the critical aspects. And I will get into that in just a little bit, but just hold that thought. And then we can provide an enriching environment for our cadets that meets our mission and purpose while limiting attendance to reduce the risk, because we can only bring so many cadets into our school at a time. Now, when I talk about, to go back one, and I talk about, you know, hey, wait a minute here, Pat, you're talking about going into a virtual model. and we're talking hybrid. And let me explain. So at the last board meeting, I created a hybrid model that I introduced to you that was 33%. Cadets would come to school once per week. They were here. We put them in their defined learning areas or cohorts. There was limited, no movement. Cadets were attending school. And that's where the positives ended. And when you really started digging deeper into it, it was a remote learning model. And in our discussions, we said, you know what? It's almost better off academically then, if we're going to do that, to be out virtual. Because if they're coming into school and they can't guarantee that they're even going to see all their teachers or even a few of their teachers, that they're going to be sitting in this room, of course they're going to have an educator with them to help them. That's not necessarily what we want. We want our teachers being able to meet with our students. Under the guidelines of what's out there, what we can do, the only way to do that to the best of our ability is do it virtually. So that's when our minds started to shift. And so that's where the virtual model came into it. And so really...
If you would, can you bear down on that just a little bit more and talk about why we've come to the conclusion that we can't have our cadets, other than the Marine piece, because I think that's the split, why they can't be in a classroom getting live instruction, right? We've got socially distanced in the classroom, as well as doing the distance learning or at-home learning or asynchronous or synchronous learning, which is the online learning, live online learning.
So one of our earliest thoughts that we're thinking this through, we said, you know what? We'll divide the cadets in quarters or in thirds, and we'll bring in a third of our seniors, third of our juniors, third of our sophomores, third of our freshmen. And you know what? We'll just let them go through the school day,
right,
and then as the teacher's teaching online, they're recorded. Well, problem with that is that when the returning to school guidelines came out, one of the big things emphasized on is keeping them in areas, because if someone does get infected or is positive, we want to be able to track. Plus, if someone is positive, we don't want it just spreading everywhere and we don't know. So that kind of put that one to the side. Then if we go with a remote model where the kids are in the room, not necessarily with a teacher, not maybe there's on a schedule. Okay, so imagine you have 8 cadets sitting in there. They're working, maybe they have headphones in, and they're working on whatever class they're following. Now, and I'll get into another point in a second, the teacher at the same time is giving her synchronous lesson. All right, we got all this going on, and well, what happens if a cadet has a question in class? Well, right, that teacher's trying to teach a class on, it doesn't work. And who's to know, we can go into bandwidth and can we even support that, all 200 people on campus, 250 at one time, all trying to stream? And the answer came up to no. So that's what led us down this road, because we kept running into barriers. And every time we ran into barriers, we shifted. And it's almost like we kept trying to find the flank. And we kept moving around the line, and we tried to find the way that we could make it work. We go back to the problem statement, which was, how do we create an environment that honors our mission and purpose, builds our culture, develops our relationships, supports our community, and provides high-level instruction while allowing us to shift unforeseen circumstances that may arise? So that leads us then, well, I worked ahead of myself. I do apologize. I'll switch those slides. But I'm going to jump down to our hybrid model, which is 3 slides down. And I will make sure that I'll make that fix before I publish this out to all our parents.
All right, so background, the next slide was scenarios.
Yeah, background, state scenarios. I will fix those. So our hybrid model.
Okay.
So to give you a general idea as we go into it, we wanted to do all these things. So the shift we started making is, okay, let's talk about our Marine Corps Junior ROTC, and let's focus on that group. And let's have the cadets, when they come to school for a week, for a day, they're going strictly to Junior ROTC. All right, with self-help groups in the afternoon. And we're still working around that. I can explain that a little bit. And so we have those, and so the Marine Corps instructors have them, and they're going to be six instructors all live with cadets in the room. We have got it. We got plexiglass dividers between the desks or tables. We were able to, you know, either social distance or put barriers in between them.
All right. So I'm under the impression that if you cannot do 6 feet, that you're supposed to do the barriers.
Correct.
If you do 6 feet, you do not have to do barriers at all.
To get all of our cadets in that area of the campus with all our Marine instructors, we need to use barriers.
All right, so that means we are going to be putting our cadets more than the 6 foot distance in some of the rooms in...
less than.
Dressen. Thank you. Less than. In Drexel.
Correct.
Okay. All right, I got some later questions on that. Keep going.
Okay. So so that's when we started to focus on the Marine Corps Junior ROTC piece. So in essence, they will be teaching in person 4 days a week. At the same time that they're doing that in the morning, our teachers are in their classrooms. They are teaching live, synchronous learning. We will schedule periods during the day that these cadets, they have to log on, and it's like sitting in class.
That means
that's
that
synchronous.
While the LE1s, which are mostly our freshmen, are going to be physically in the building doing freshman Marine stuff, all our other cadets are going to be online watching their teacher teach, Algebra 1.
From home, yes.
From home.
Correct.
Okay. All right.
So, we are still at a point, I can get into more details, but let me take a break here. And let me go to, I'm going to ask Colonel get on in a second, but let me go to Mrs. Clark to kind of give her explanation of how it's going to look with the teachers in Drexel and then into the extra help groups in the afternoon. Ms. Clark?
I think you're muted. Thank you. Sorry. So our teachers, and I'll pretend that I'm teaching English, ELA. Whenever I have first period that first day, I will be streaming with them and doing more of a flipped classroom. We will do assignments in the afternoon. They'll have to do that work on their own. We'll do check-ins, we will have conversations, because in the classroom that happens mostly instead of standing up direct instruction. We'll be doing group work, which is all part of collaboration and everything. And then they will move to the second class, and the kids will come in, those kids will log off, then the second group will come in offline, and then they will finish up with that group. Then they'll have the 30-minute lunch. Then they'll have same amount of that 30 minutes of planning, and then they will have a group of however many we can fit into their classroom. And they will facilitate the whatever the students have, the cadets have, in their remote folders to work on. And so they will sit there with them and remind them to do their work, and they'll have to meet with them, and they can't stand next to them for any length of time, because that's the rule. It won't be their teacher for some of them. If it's a freshman student and the teacher teaches just seniors, that's not a cadet they would have, but that's the day that we're doing, so it won't be them teaching them. It will be them checking in on the remote learning. So this piece of it hasn't changed since you guys saw it last, as far as that hybrid piece, but you know, that it's they will have it twice. They will have a class twice a week, some weeks, and some weeks they won't have a class.
She means twice a day.
Yeah, I was going to say twice a week. So, all right, hey, Stacy, let me see if I've got this. I'm looking now at the hybrid model page where it says in-person learning and remote learning. It's sort of the graph or whatever you want to call it. In-person learning, so LE1 is going to be here at campus in-person. Am I assuming, I should assume, I am understanding then that LE 2, 3, and 4 are going to be doing live teaching and synchronous learning outside of the campus, at home, or wherever they are, at their appointed times for that appointed class. So,
yes.
Correct.
Okay, so freshmen in the building on Monday, everybody else is on online, receiving instruction from their teachers via video, and then on Tuesday, now the freshmen, juniors, and seniors are now online, and the sophomores are in the building. Is that the essence of how we're doing this?
That is. I do want to point out the only way that's doable for this hybrid model, and I understand that we absolutely are having them in. If a cadet is supposed to be in algebra in the morning on, you know, it's a freshman on Monday, that's their schedule because we're at 20 in the classroom. We can't just, they will be doing theirs online only for algebra. So I need you to understand some of that and the trickiness that these teachers are, you know, kind of facing. You know, to hybrid is difficult to try to arrange at the high school level.
Yeah.
Our teachers are absolutely, it takes twice the amount of planning to do remote where you're not speaking to the cadets. And then if some of the cadets are in the building and they're missing the class because they're on campus, the teachers have to then also double record all of the directions again and everything for them. So
go ahead, Stace.
That was Hans. Yes.
Oh, all right, I'm sorry. Go ahead, Hans.
Hey. So, Stacy, what has been just the general mood or feeling of the teachers, you know, with this, just generally speaking? Are they supportive of it, embracing it, happy to be doing it?
They understand that the board has directed us to go with hybrid.
Okay.
Fair enough.
All right. So I was going back, Stacy, back to this issue of, do we know how many of our cadets will be in this situation where they're a freshman, they're taking Algebra 1, and yet they are in the building doing LE1 marine stuff and are unable to be online? Do we have a sense of how big that universe is every day?
Well, it's probably going to be around, you know, at least 20. Well, if it's two classes, it's 40 then, 40 to 50,
yeah.
Correct? So
20 to 50 at least.
Yes. Yeah, so
every day.
But the thing about it is that's why the teachers have to record it.
Right.
And so they can watch it in the afternoon, but. You know, Scott, that's something, not something we like, but at the same time, if we're in school and field trip, athletics, anything like that, they're still checking out, they have to make it up. It's not ideal, but, you know, unless someone has a better idea, I'd love to hear it.
Okay.
Yes.
I will say that this hybrid model, you know, with Pat, Colonel, Blair, and the staff has, I know I tend to give them kudos, but I will again, the staff volunteered a ton of hours. We've probably put in about 50 hours into this, the instruction group alone, and this is by far the best we can come up with to get kids any sort of contact with their teacher within this model, so within a hybrid model.
All right.
And we've gone through I don't know how many plants.
Yes, ma'am. I can imagine. I really can. Staying on this particular slide, the hybrid model continued with the in-person and the remote. Do we have a sense of sort of the time, the actual times that these things happen? Because when I look at the first block, activity session, second block, which is on the LE side, the marine side, and then I'm looking at remote learning, is the expectation is sort of like 08 to 1500 every day is, or
it's
is
a, actually? Our virtual schedule and our in-person mirror one another in day's length, just like we are in school naturally.
Okay.
That's one thing I told the staff. We will do our morning huddle at 07:30 in the morning, of course, virtually. Yeah. If we can get to a point we can do it in person, we will, but that, I don't foresee that happening anytime soon. And then, of course, the same ending day. So that is one change that we are implementing, that, of course, we have our PDs. It'll just be like, you know, we'll do some things virtual, but like it's like a normal day. We're going to try to stay to our structures and policies that we've been following for the last 5 years.
Okay. Let me look around the room here. Questions, at least on this portion of the presentation, the hybrid issue.
So to give further clarification, the only students that are going to be on campus at any point in time are those that are taking marine instruction.
Correct.
Number two is that if this is a 7:30 to 2:30, 3 o'clock piece, all right, then I'm going to go to remote learning because it says one period virtual synchronization and third period. That would give me the impression that only two classes are being taught. The students are only attending two classes per day, remotely.
Through virtual.
Yes.
But they'll have it in the afternoon, too. It's not like they just don't have any work to do. Okay. So the asynchronous, so learning that they will have office hours, that they'll be able to check in with the teachers.
So I'm going to take it further. So it might be, so I'm just going to use... I'm a freshman. I'm going to get Algebra 1.
You're fading in and out, Kidner.
No, it's Jim Burr.
You got to speak up, Jim.
So I'm a freshman. I got Algebra, English, Spanish, Science, and some other course. On the non-marine day, I might have Algebra the first period on day one and English and Science third period day one. The next day it might be my other two classes.
Correct.
Yes.
And then it'll go those same Monday classes again and the same Tuesday classes again on Thursday.
So in a month's time, they will have contact online with the teacher out of 8 classes. They'll be able to have contact with the teacher 6 of the 8 classes for up to 4 hours a month.
Live.
Well, yeah, depending on how many weeks, yeah.
All right. And it's me again, Kidner. So how many, when we look at, to his point, Jim's point about first period virtual, is that still a double? Because our classes were not, they weren't an hour. They were always an
80
hour.
80 minutes, correct.
Pardon me?
80 minutes.
80 minutes. Are they still 80 minutes?
We're still in discussions right. with that. We have to
yeah.
plan it.
Okay, so that the 80-minute issue is still out there. Okay.
Correct.
All right. Jim, anything else? All right. Let me see if there's any other questions real quick in this section. Chris, you're good. All right. Anybody online? Bonds, Reggie?
Yeah, I just have a question, and it may be jumping ahead, and Pat may be getting to that. Has there been any indication of how many will not embrace, how many of the parents or students will not embrace the hybrid model and go to the alternate method?
So go to 100% remote. I will be able to let you know later this week, early next week. It's going to go out tomorrow.
Right. So to answer that question
That's clear. So the parents can embrace the hybrid or go virtual.
Yeah, we're going to give them the option, the ones that you know require it. I've gotten two phone calls already. So, I want to make sure I get this out to them. I set up 8 parent groups for information sessions. I have 121 signed up so far that, you know, different Zoom meetings that we're going to meet and we're going to discuss this plan.
Okay, great. Yeah, I saw that email. Thanks for sending it.
So the bottom line to that question, Hans, is we really don't know what the reaction of our parents will be. We know we have 2 that have decided that, or at least are asking questions about 100% remote. There may be more. I suspect there'll be more, but how big of a group out of our, what's our end strength now? What do we have,
466.
466, which is quite frankly incredible and wonderful. All right. So any other questions, Reggie, to you on sort of this hybrid discussion we're in right now? Is he muted? Okay, you're good?
Yep.
All right. Katie?
We haven't talked about that. Go ahead, Ms. Clark.
The problem with that would be then you could have 50 kids showing up. So some are already at 28. So we don't want to go any more than that because that's more than we really want anyway, right? So no, they can't just jump around because then that's going to be a whole different issue. So if they're having problems getting into one class, then they would be able to get into another one anyway.
I just meant like in terms of, when I say problems, not necessarily technical problems, more like they're selecting late. I know that that's not our fault, but, you know, that's
right.
Not being here.
So
there's going to be some strict guidelines and rules around that because that impacts the teacher, especially because the teacher's office hours are also when the teacher is trying to facilitate with the 8 kids in front of them. So they'll be marked absent, and then we deal with the absences.
Yeah,
so the way that I understand the schedule is if I was teaching in the morning, we'll have huddle, then we'll have my first period class. I'm teaching it live so kids can ask me questions with my 28 kids. Then I have a second class with my 28 kids teaching live and they can ask questions. Then everyone breaks for lunch, and then afterwards I'm in the classroom with my 8 kids and I'm just helping with whatever subject they have.
Yes, and you're also doing office hours virtually too, because there's no, yeah.
Okay.
All right, and Katie, let me.
And their kids in the building or whatever. So those are like details though that we haven't quite nailed down.
All right, and Katie, let me go back to your original thought here about kids, our cadets moving into one class or they don't come online. You know, there's a portion of the PowerPoint that talks about attendance, right? So this is a partnership. I mean, part of this entire exercise is relying on moms and dads to do their part. And part of their part, of course, is assessing whether their cadets are ready for school and that they are online when they're supposed to be online. And there's only, quite frankly, so much we can do. And if we're going to have, I don't know what the word is for it, but cadets that are unwilling to show up, and we're going to treat them like we always treat folks who don't show up for work. They're absent, what's the excuse? And you get a bunch of them, maybe this program's not for you. So there is clearly more that moms, dads, and our families have to be part of this solution in this process. And that's going to be part of this education, quite frankly. This is going to be part of us through staff, and maybe it's going to involve me, of educating and getting our families to understand we're all in this together. But, you know, there are clearly going to be cadets who will be missing, and they will not engage as best we can. We witnessed a little of this when we went to remote back in the spring. So that's kind of where my sort of head is as it relates to this, that particular issue. All right, so.
So just to understand what I heard Katie say then, so the period that she's talking about education, and she says live, is actually remote, correct? It's live on the internet, but the students aren't there.
That's correct.
But there's going to be 8 students who will be in the classroom at the end?
In the afternoon, that's correct.
And that's just the ones that were left over from the 24 hour.
Well, not left over, Reggie. That's, and we're going to do a shift in the afternoon. And we're going to give those cadets that are here on campus an opportunity. And so they'd be like little advisory groups that they're going to meet with every day that they are on campus with the same instructor. And again, the groups we're projecting going to be around 6, not quite 8, 6 or 7, that in those classes, one, they can follow up and make up what they missed as they were there. And then if they have questions, of course, you have a staff member there can assist to guide them and help them out.
Okay, Reg, are you okay?
Yeah, good.
Okay. All right, so we've been talking a lot about this particular slide. Please, Barry.
So I really like the live component a lot. So as I was thinking more about our discussion at the last board meeting, it did kind of seem like we were having teachers be more of kind of having a more babysitting role in the classroom. And so I really like that, and I appreciate that we've shifted in that. In terms of them then recording certain classes, is there a way that the teachers can record the class that they are currently instructing? Okay,
yes.
I thought I heard you say that they would have to re-record it, and to me that seems like a complete duplication.
No, that they
can
record
as they're teaching. So then if you are catching up on it, you can also get the student component and question and answer portion too.
Correct.
Okay. Just
for instructional purposes, I just need to jump in here. Our teachers with a PBL model don't do a lot of direct instruction.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why the live sessions are a lot of reviewing agendas, because that did not happen a whole lot. Kids independently in the spring, so that's a change. They have got to learn, they've got to work on community building, classroom building. And kind of catching up from where they dropped off, if they did last year, because especially our freshmen, we don't know where they came from. Some did not get instruction marking period 4, some did in their schools. It is more to be of a check-in. It is more to be a review of what your work was as far as asynchronous, and because of the timing of the day, they don't have all day to spend doing it. So honestly, it's more of a check-in, having conversations, doing breakout rooms. So it could look very different in another class. So how one class runs, even though it's, you know, Earth and space, our integrated non-science class, the next class, their inquiry and their project could be very different. And so them listening to another groups isn't going to be of benefit to them at all. They can record pieces of it, but some of it is not going to be beneficial. A lot of it, whole group will probably be 15 to 20 minutes, and then they'll do breakouts. They'll do some conversations about the work that they had done the night prior. The kids were asked to do for homework and the asynchronous part, and that's going to look different. The conversations you have with one group is going to be very different than the conversations you have with the next.
So if you're that student who you're a freshman, and but you have that algebra course on Monday mornings and you have to catch up on that, what will you actually be watching? Just that kind of first 20-minute block and not the breakouts?
No, the teachers are also recording any lessons and anything that they want everybody to do.
Okay.
So the teachers are doing two classes essentially for everything, because in order to do two different groups, in order to do this model, they have to, you know, so they don't miss kids, they have to be able to do that. So they're also recording, some of them record going through agendas, but they'll make videos and they'll make things for kids to do for, you know, homework, the asynchronous part in the afternoon. And that everybody will have very similar stuff. The live sessions are more to connect, get into the deeper critical thinking, and that's how we do it in the classroom. And so that's what they're doing. So they'll miss, and that's why we want to, you know, reassess. I know hybrid is big, and you know, we talked about this last time when I said it's, you know, instructionally it's not sound, but our teachers are going to do the absolute best they can do, and try to build the culture and everything for that first month. And that's why we'll need to reassess, with your support, of course.
All right, wonderful. All right, thank you. Great, great response, Stacy. Thank you. Pat, why don't we? I think if they're not seen any of.
Actually, I have two more questions.
Two more questions from Jim.
So, how long are the recordings going to be available to the students? Meaning, they record in the morning. Is it? Are we looking at having like a 5-day archive, a 10-day archive of sessions, or
forever?
Yeah, it's in there. You can embed it into Echo. We can attach it where the cadet can go back and watch.
Okay, so if somebody's missing something there, they can go back to prior 2 days and get
correct.
It, or we can go and grab it.
Yeah. Just as a side note, technical question, are we going to run out of bandwidth or storage or any of that sort of stuff?
So I was in discussions with Paul back in July. We've been talking about this. It goes a lot longer than that. We started a discussion, I think, back in June, because we need more ports and switches.
Okay.
But we didn't get them last year. At the end of last year, we're going to order them, because DTI is in the state supposed to go to a new system. So we didn't have to buy something and then replace it a few months later. So I met with Paul and another gentleman. We talked about it, and we talked about going to the 1 gig.
Right.
So... And he viewed our school, took a picture of it in March, maybe 8th. He got back to me, said, yes, you need to go to 1 gig. So, and he said, Pat, we're in the process now. He couldn't tell me when it's going to be, but we're going to start, instead of what they're saying is, you can go 100 megabytes or you can go 1 gig. There's nothing in between. There's nothing more. You can't shop for your option that best fits your school. Right now, DTI is starting to work on that. They want to build up a plan. They're working with Comcast or Verizon. I think it's Comcast they're with. That they can start, actually, a school can actually shop what bandwidth internet plan is best for them. That's a long ways away, though. That's not now.
All right. So back to the question, though. Given what our hybrid's going to be looking like, and this issue of, I'll just say bandwidth, including physical pieces, i.e. switches, physical stuff.
Correct.
Do we have enough that's going to allow our cadets to see a video or see a lesson that is 3 weeks old? I don't know why, but if they need to go back, well, they would review or get ready for a test or something. Do we have enough capability that all these lessons are going to be able to stay on our system and our cadets are going to be able to access them whenever?
Yes, I mean, I'd have to ask the technical people about Echo and what's in there and how far they go back on their lessons. But again, that's no different than a normal school day during the year.
Yeah, absolutely.
With being late and certain requirement being in, that all has to be decided how we're going to do it, because once it's late and that period ends, then they can't go back.
Right. Not worried about that. I'm just worried about this particular issue of the technology. The second piece is, why would we not ask for 1 gig and go to 1 gig and do it now?
Scott, I've already done that. It's in the process.
Then who do we need to talk to move that along?
It'll be up by August 27th.
Okay.
I'm already there. I've been working on that for the past month.
All right. Good.
Okay.
Yes. I'm good now. I feel better. All right. Anything else? Good. All right. Back to you. What slides do you want to hit? There are some issues here under attendance. Grades and earning credits. Do you want to hit some of this stuff?
So if we talk about attendance, of course, when cadets are required to attend in-person instructional days, unless the accommodation piece comes in, they have been requested arranged to provide remote-only instruction. So, you know, part of the attendance piece, that will be it. That'll be your attendance for in-person. So when you talk about it, there'll be an automatic excuse then, because the teacher will know that, hey, look, they're in-person, they can't do the virtual. Same thing, attendance will be taken while they're in the virtual too.
Yep.
Then we do have to build this. We also want to build that with their instructional activities and what they turn in. We base also off of the attendance.
All right, so the attendance piece is fairly worked out, but you're saying there's still a couple more questions about, or is this grading that you're talking about now, about when things get turned in, and that sort of nature?
Yeah, because when it comes to grading, Scott, I really don't, you know, I don't micromanage the teachers. I kind of allow that up to them in their individual classes.
Right. So we're going to try to replicate what we've done as long as we've been here as it relates to credit and grades. Okay. On the hybrid model page, grades and earning credit, I did have a question, Bob, for you. So we're talking about, obviously, again, grades, and it says some Marine Corps JRTC electives will not be run in either environment. Can you talk a little bit? I think I know what it is, but would you talk about that, please?
Sure. So our electives traditionally are marksmanship, graders, and drill. And right now, in this current model, there is no room to run those electives. And we have talked about it. We might mature into that later on in the year, perhaps. But at current, Raiders, as an example, it's a team sport. They're crawling all over each other.
Right.
They're going to have to be without masks. So how do we do that? We can't. Drill, they're using rifles and swords. Now I got to decontaminize every one of them after every class, and this, that, and the other. That runs a risk. And the marksmanship is one that we might be able to do, because the cadets are spaced out anyway. I can wipe down the rifles at the end of it, so that's something we might consider growing into. But at the end of the day, it's really teaching them the activity. There are not going to be any competitions this year. Every school I know out there that I can talk of, the other JRTC instructors I've spoken with over the last couple of months, they haven't even heard from their schools. They have no idea what's going on. So I see no chance of us doing any competitions this year. Now it's an issue of how do I motivate the kids to do drill, marksmanship, graders when there's nobody competing in. So Pat and I have kicked around a couple of ideas that we might take on board, but that's what we mean by no electives in this environment.
Great. As I suspected. Questions? Okay. So we're in the next slide. Pat, you want to keep moving along?
Yes.
There, I got some other questions and thoughts.
So about the in-school safety precautions. So, of course, give the parents guidance for the symptoms. This comes from EPH. And then, of course, the health assessment is going to be required from all cadets and staff before they come to school. And, of course, if you look at it, you know what's going to happen.
So...
It's just part of it. We'll battle through it, and we'll make it. So, but all cadets, we'll talk to the families that they will have to. And what I will do is, instead of giving them a big piece, I am going to give them easy one-pagers. You know, what to do, you know, steps to take before coming to school. So they, so it's, I don't want to give them a bunch of stuff that they have to look through. I want to make sure that what I finally present to the teachers before we start, or not teachers, to our parents and families, is that it's easy accessible, easy to read. And it just hits the touch points of what they need to know.
Question, we talked about one of the bullets is isolation areas. I'm assuming, but do not know, are we talking about the nurse's office, or are we talking about something physically different on campus?
So we're going to have physically different. So, and right now, unfortunately, we're leaning towards the, we'll shut down the teacher's lounge. I don't know. We're still thinking about it.
Okay.
Because, again, we really don't want to put them out here in Media Center, because then they're out of our adult size. Again, this is stuff we still have to talk about in details, but we need to have that room. Because if a cadet gets sick and they have symptoms, of course, we have to isolate that person, that individual.
Hey, Pat.
Yes, Hans.
Did we buy thermometers earlier?
We have six of them, Hans.
And the thermal?
Yes, the non-touch, correct.
So is there a procedure in place to just test somebody for a temperature? I mean, I go to the veterinarian or to Dover Downs Casino. I got to go through a temperature screen.
Correct, but you're thinking of one. So when we get off the buses, we're going to quickly amass 120, 130 cadets almost within a 10-minute period. So do we put them in lines? Does it create more congested? Does it put them closer together? You know, it's something, if that's what you request, we'll figure out how you want us to do it. According to the state plan, it's not required.
A kid gets dizzy or he's exhibiting symptoms, so then what happens? Like, let's say five kids at once all have high temperatures, so what's the procedure?
So then that'll go back to our plan for our health and safety side. That's not in here. That, you know, we'll take and isolate those kids. But that's one of the things, Hans, that we want to keep them in the confined groups.
Sure.
Because it comes to that point. Plus, DPH put out guidance. And if cadets are wearing a mask all day, which our cadets will be wearing a mask all day, and they pretty much are socially distanced at 6 feet, all right? And for most part of the time, and even if it's under 15 minutes, if they're under 6 feet, that's okay. Then the only student that gets sick are the only ones that need to be quarantined. Everybody else, according to that, is fine.
What about, I'm just asking, just like a detail or something, I understand you can't test all the cadets when they get off the bus, but what about, just asking, like a rapid reaction force, like a squad of students, almost like a hall monitor, that occasionally go around wearing masks, gloves, and occasionally do temperature checks, or, you know, just test a few of the students every day to kind of, I don't know, just so we are on top of it. Would that be too hard to organize?
I think we have the thermometers. We've got them for something. How are we actively using them?
Well, Hans, if I may, what I think he's referring to is,
sure,
as part of the monitoring process for the school, is that we create a couple of cadets that are on a free period, and they are wandering the halls and they're outside, and they've got one of our digitals, and they go, hey, man, we're doing a quick check, boom, zap them, and see what the temperature is. Isn't that what you're talking about, Hans?
Yes, exactly. Sure.
Okay.
That we are doing due diligence, you know, that's all.
I think that will go bad real quick.
Yeah, that. You don't want students randomly selecting other students, I think. I think that gets into some ugly issues there. If you empower a cadet to go out there and randomly select other cadets, that seems to me that's going to get ugly pretty fast, I think.
All right.
Well,
Leslie, wait a minute. Hey, Hans.
It's fine. I have to do temperature checks to go into the vets.
Right.
Or Dover Downs. I mean, we're sending a bunch of kids in the with a health assessment, I am okay with that. But I mean, I know parents just want to kind of get kids out the door. Okay, yeah, he's fine. Let's go. That's all.
Yeah.
Hey, Reggie. Reggie, I think you're really far away from the mic. I can barely hear you, and I'm sitting right beside it. Can you move closer?
I said I'm going to turn on the fair to this drop, but I know some of the schools have either hired or they're using some type of monitors actually on the school buses, and the kids' temperatures check before they get on the bus, because the bus is can be such a high contagion area, that some of the schools, that's what they're doing now. And if you don't pass the temperature test, you don't get on the bus.
Well, I will tell you, a bus can seat 48. The most we're looking at having on a bus is 14. So it'll be nice weather. The windows will be open. They'll be spaced out. They'll have their masks on. I don't think the bus will be a high contagion area because we don't have. We want to have. That's why we're going 25%. It's dictated by our transportation. So the thing about it is that they'll be spaced out.
They still only have smaller percentage of people on, but that's just one way that they're doing to do that due diligence that I'm talking about. They're doing that, and I think actually the ones I did zero, I think they actually hired monitors to ride the bus that are adults that are doing this. It's not the kids doing.
No, I understand.
That's probably funding, and we didn't get the time for CARES Act funding. But it depends on the school and how much money you get. If I can jump in, Pat.
You're fine.
But there would go any extra funding we have. So there goes our cleaning supplies.
So just back to that scenario: four kids are sick, the student cadets. Who's going to test them? Who? Just the school nurse, or who's going to do the temperature reading?
Go ahead, Pat.
I'll figure it out, make it happen, but I would like to make one comment.
Well, wait a minute. He's just referring to if someone comes down with symptoms.
Correct.
Who assesses that? And I assume it's our school nurse that
Correct.
Will be assessing individual kids and staff that say, I'm exhibiting, got a headache, sore throat, shortness of breath, my temperature's just skyrocketed. So it will be our school nurse that's
Correct.
Going to be assessing. Okay, that was that question.
So we just need to find an isolation area. The school nurse will do an assessment.
Yes.
And then we'll have a procedure in place for that cadet to go to.
Correct. All right, so hang on. Oh, hang on for a sec. Leslie's patiently waiting over here. Go ahead.
I just thought if the buses only have 14, obviously, I feel like the sooner we could identify if someone was coming to the school, even if they had a mask and were distanced, the sooner we could identify somebody and address them and get them isolated, the better. How difficult would it be to take one of these six or however many of the six and just scan them as they get off the bus? I mean, I know there's a lot coming in at one time, but if it's 14 on a bus, is that something that's even feasible? Because the more they're walking around and everyone's doing the right thing, there's a potential risk there. So if that's an option.
Well, there is with anything, but I can make a comment about all this, and I do understand, and that's why the state came out with their protocols, and we're trying to stay exactly what they say. DPH came out with their protocols, and I understand they go about above and beyond. One, we don't have personnel. Two, if we're going to go down and do all that stuff, folks, I'll be honest with you, let's just go virtual 100%. Let's just go remote because, you know, we're going to do the best we can with what we got. But if it's going to be such a overburden just to do it, it's going to be a nightmare to manage. And we tried to keep it small so we can manage this within small groups and do things based on the protocols passed out by Department of Public Health. And, you know, and Department of Education, but doing all this other stuff, and I get how businesses can do that, and, you know, we're talking about tiny groups of people, and we're not talking about, you know, have even at that areas, but if it gets to that point, quite frankly, I would recommend then that we shift and we go to a virtual model because, quite frankly, it won't work. I'm just being honest. You're giving us a lot of stuff that we have to do. Now, remember, it's hard enough just to do school on a regular day. Now, if you add on these other stuff, now we got to do all this other stuff. And quite frankly, it's just we're better off going virtual.
Yes, ma'am.
And I agree with you, Pat, because I think to some degree we need to be, I think we're setting ourselves up to be prepared as well as we can. I don't think we need to be turning our teachers into nurses. I don't think we need to be turning our bus drivers into nurses, to be hiring aides to serve as nurses. I mean, if we're taking temperatures when they get here, then how do you get that child home? But I understand everyone's point, but I agree with you where at what point is school no longer an enjoyable or an effective place to be.
Correct.
So I 100% see.
And if I could add, you know, in the way that I plan and work out, we got our framework. Yes, we got to hit some details. But the thing about it is, even when we come in the first on August 27, we will have most of these details of what we're going to do figured out. But there are things that are going to take place that we haven't planned for. And we will adjust. We will be flexible enough. We will have people in place. And we will be able to adjust and adapt to the situations because we've talked about it. We've understand. We know what we have to do. And we'll do the best we can.
And these are high schoolers, too. Just to finish my thought. I mean, I think this goes back to shared responsibility. If we had 5-6-year-olds, if we had little ones here, I think that's a different conversation. But I think that goes right back to our communication. It's the burden's on everyone to make sure this is a safe place.
Yep. Okay. All right. Pat, we're still in personal protection, social distance. I think we're in that slide. We were talking about health screening. Let me go back to Zoom. Hans, Reggie, anything else on this one?
No, I guess I kind of agree with what he's saying, but I also think that, you know, there are some things. You know, to be quite frank, I'd rather see us all go back to school. I'm kind of wondering why we actually just don't try and make more of the students go back to school. The temperature check thing is like a basic thing that everybody's doing. And I mean, we bought the thermometers. What did we buy them for? We're not going to use them. I'm just kind of perplexed at that one.
Like I said, Reggie, our details of our plans are not there yet. I do want to get the staff on campus on the 20th when they're in, so we can start having more face-to-face discussions and talking about these things and working through some of these little problems and figure out how we're going to do that. Because we got a great staff. They're dedicated. They work very hard. And they're very smart. And the thing about it is that, you know, quite frankly, we haven't really, you can say virtually been together, but we really haven't been together since March 13th.
Yeah.
Someone look to. The reason, Reggie, we're starting at 25%, not 50, we got to be prepared to able to manage this. It's difficult enough to manage during the regular school day. Add into all these protocols and things we got to do, now we have to manage all these too. So 25%, even though a small number, will still be very taxing to us.
Okay.
I understand it's completely fluid, and you're probably going to be changing things every day as this goes on.
Right.
And that's what, I think it's common sense that that's going to happen. It's going to be very fluid, moving, and changing. I'm just trying to understand, I guess, on how we're approaching it, that it makes sense, I guess, to me.
Okay.
And I'm not saying that we're not.
want to continue on. We're in the hybrid and school safety precautions. Pat, anything else you want to hit on
no.
that?
We talked about the dividers. The face coverings will be required all times, including on school buses. That's just something we're going to do. I know that's going to be a hard one. Again, we go into small groups in the afternoons. It'll be 6 feet because, like I said, we're going to have 6-7 in a class. I will tell you, with lunch and breakfast, they will be brought over to the classroom. We will use the outside space. Let them eat outside while the weather's nice.
Oh, yeah, obviously.
Yes.
So tell me about this, the food service piece. You do not and are not planning to have food service in the cafeteria at all?
No, we're going to bring it over there.
So food is going to be transferred to
Transport.
Drexel?
Correct.
Morrell.
That's correct. Scott, we have two plans now. We also have a plan where they come in, get it out, and head right back to it.
Okay.
So, you know, it's one of those things, and we're trying to, and again, it comes down to guidance from Delaware Public Health. The big thing is the contact tracing. Well, if we have kids going everywhere and walking and they're coming contact.
Yeah, I'm tracking.
Yep.
I got you. All right. Anything else on this slide?
Now, visitors, of course, we will tell families, that will be restricted, that they need to make prior arrangements or call from the parking lot.
Yep. Okay. Next slide is school safety, school buses and transportation. A couple of questions for me on this. As it relates to the assigned seats, who does that? Is the
Bus drivers take care of that.
Okay.
It's also, we do it every year anyways. So they always have seating charts on the buses. But again, it will put them on there. And, that way, again, it comes up with the tracing. It's recommended that, Joe Smith over here, who was around him on the bus.
Right. Not next to, but one
correct
seat away.
Because they are going to be on there longer than 15 minutes. The good thing is, in most cases, they'll be the 6 feet distance apart.
All right. Parking, because we're going to be encouraging a lot more of that. Is Larry, does he know where he's putting cars?
Well, we got this one.
Right.
And of course we got the field.
Okay.
We have no athletics to worry about, so we can park there. The only thing
on the football field, dang on it.
The only thing I got to ask, and Larry brought this up to me. He said, Pat, usually during the school year, our whole staff can fit all down there. We got all that stone back there taking up all those parking spaces.
Okay. So he wants to move it?
He wants to move it, and I just wanted to let you guys know, make sure it's okay. We're going to put in a big pile at the end down there.
All right.
Okay.
All right. It's fine.
Okay.
Okay. Anything else on this slide? Going to facility cleanliness. I think that we've got, this is fairly self-explanatory. We do have procedures, we've got guidelines, we've got all the material. Larry's got all the stuff in the building he needs, is that correct?
We do. We bought, we talked about the last meeting, we bought two of the electrostatic sprayers. That we planned it out. We did this whole room in like 3 or 4 minutes.
Okay.
So we're estimating with some give time that we're going to plan in the scheduling work with Larry is that the last 2 hours before our evening custodians leave is they're going to go through each wing, each room, go out, then go down, do the hallway and doorknobs, boom. We'll start working our way down the hall, the next one, and then go over and do Morrell and St. Michael's.
Right.
We also are planning, we have, every 2 hours, I gave him guidance on the build the schedule that, this is the bathrooms they need clean and we need to spray the handles, the doors and stuff like that. The good thing is that because we're not using all the facility the whole time, we'll just have to be focusing on Morrell and touch up hit points over here at Drexel that when kids come in.
And you think we've got enough material on hand, enough sanitizer, you know, all that sort of stuff?
The disinfectant sprayers, the square footage they can do with a small little pod is they can go a long way.
Okay.
Yes.
All right, cool. Any additional questions on this slide? Next, student activities. I did want to get just a little more detail, Bob, on outdoor marine activities and the use of masks outside. Current orders are, you're 6 feet apart, you do not wear a mask. You do not have to wear a mask if you are 6 feet or more outside. So if we're in formation, and I want to say double arm, flank right, and all that sort of stuff, or if we're doing drill, which sometimes can be strenuous, depending on their efficiency, about how they march and learn all that sort of good stuff. Give me some sense about how you guys are thinking about this.
Well, one, yes, we will do drill. Because as was brought up to you earlier, you know, the idea of doing a induction day with freshmen only. So yes, we will be doing drill. There are some details to work through that. I would like to be able to do if they're masked to be at 3 feet. I'm not sure if we can, as we normally are. Sounds like we can, but maybe the prudent thing to start with is to be at 6 feet and grow to 3 feet.
Okay.
You know, okay. PT, yes, we do plan on doing physical activity, and we will be unmasked. We will maintain that 6 feet of separation between the cadets, yes.
Okay. All right. Got it. Okay. We talked about breakfast and lunch and all that sort of stuff. And I think I'm on the last slide. Anything you want to hit, Pat, on it?
No, it's just, you know, as we know, the first six days are going to be our new cadets. We can prep them and with Marine Corps Junior RC, give them uniforms issue. Then, of course, go into the other part, get their Chromebooks set up, get them online, teach them that code, just go over our different guidelines and some of the things we do. And then everybody else will start on the 8th. I will tell you right now that, of course, we ordered our Chromebooks early. Way early, and we're not getting them till December.
Oh, that's new information.
So yeah, well, but we're good. We're good.
Okay.
Because I've always been an overorder. So if we have 130 kids coming in, I always order 150. So we have them. They're just going to be used until we get the new ones in.
Okay. All right. That's disappointing.
It is disappointing, but we had it in, and it just, there are no Chromebooks anywhere to be found. Anywhere in the United States, anywhere, any district.
Do they have our money?
Huh?
Do they have our money?
Well, they're on order because they're still coming in. Yes, they have our money. We're still going to get them in December, so
all right.
That's the goal, we hope. But, yeah, it's just something that I mean, we're more fortunate. I might have to make that call back to Denise Stouffer and retrieve the 90 Chromebooks we gave her to borrow at the end of last year.
Okay. All right.
Let's meeting hope last year. Yes.
Okay. So I think we are close to wrapping up this discussion. We have a vote. We'll have a vote here in a moment or so about this particular plan. I guess what maybe I will do is ask for everybody in the room for your final thoughts and questions or comments. And then we'll go to Zoom. Maybe Pat or Bob, any other last thoughts or comments on the plan presented?
So do we
Wait a minute, Hansi. Hey, Hans. Hans.
Yes, do we have a staff person who is the COVID-19 point of contact? Yeah, I guess that's the school nurse.
That's correct, or me, Hans.
Okay, and can we possibly maybe start, maybe when you meet the staff, possibly come up with some type of temperature thing maybe down the road?
Absolutely. Like I said, we'll discuss it and we'll do it. The only thing I would like to bring up, and your point's well taken, and you're right, it's something we think about. The only thing I do ask is when we talk about a business, we talk about school and adolescents, it's two different things. And sometimes people say, well, they're doing it over here at the business. Because understand, once that cadet comes in, now if you walk in and they say your temperature's too high, they say, see you later, go to your car. Understand, to show you how different we are, we can't do that. So, we got to have, that's the only thing I would ask is that you understand that we are different. We are not the same as a business. And it's just everything is different, and so we're going to make every effort to make that happen. And I promise you, it'll be done.
I was looking at the CDC guidelines for schools, and that's actually not, as far as I could see, one of the recommendations. It's just staff training and backup staffing and things like that. So I hear you, Pat. Thanks.
You're welcome.
All right, so. As I said, we're going to be doing a vote here in a moment or so. Pat, I think that was your final comment. Bob, any additional final comments as it relates to this plan?
I appreciate all the work the teachers have done, just to be public about that. They have worked really hard to make this plan actionable, and my green instructors are ready to go.
All right, cool. All right, in the room, Chris.
Plan was great. I just have one question. What kind of mask are we issuing the cadets masks and the staff masks, or do they get to wear whatever they want? And the only reason I'm issued once, so I can only wear certain ones at work versus personal ones. So I don't know what the thoughts were on that.
Sure.
Did you order some from
the
kids?
I did. They haven't come in yet.
So we have also published that if they wear a mask, they have to be conservative. And by that I said black, brown, or green, one color.
Okay. Any regular logos, things like that?
Colors. Yeah. No colors, I don't want any words, phrases, none of that, because you don't know what you're going to get, and there's some not so good ones out there, so that's been our guidance to them so far.
Yes, I've actually seen them.
Yes.
All right. Good to go? Okay, cool.
Yes, sir. We also have some temporary ones to hand out if they, because it's going to be like Cubs. I've talked about that. They're going to lose their mask. We're trying to find a way to put their names on them. Those kind of things when it stays. And yes, it's going to be a challenge. But well, you got it.
It's supposed to fall on the gator.
Hey, I'm over here. Kevin.
The teachers did a great job and the staff putting all this together, and it's going to be a working wheel, so first day things could change, and I said just go with the flow with it, but I think it's a definitely a good start.
Okay. Jim?
Couple of clarifying questions. For all intents and purposes, the cadets are only going to be in the JROTC building, correct? For the day.
That's not correct. They will be in Drexel in the afternoon.
So they will break
and out. And St. Michael's, yes.
They will break out for the afternoon session.
In their small groups, yes. Maybe if I can go a little bit further, Jim. So the way that's going to be broken down is that they're in Colonel Wallace's leadership class. That group, or however it works, will then break down into smaller groups and go with those teachers. So again, it's all pretty much keeping them in their small groups.
All right, anything else?
No, it'll be an interesting piece for the
for what the teachers have come up with and staff have come up with to be able to execute it. We can't cover all of the possibilities. There has to be accountability and ownership of the cadets and parents. So, you know, while I hear the conversation relative to getting the thermometers and testing there, and I was going to throw it and just have the bus drivers take the temperature when they get on the bus, but if the parents are saying it's 98.6 and they're signing it and Johnny doesn't have 98.6, then I'm sorry, parent, you just exposed this entire school to a problem.
There is, Jim, there is some things we can do, and there'll be some things we just can't. And that could be one of them. Leslie.
No, I think this is a great first plan. Obviously we will evaluate it as things go along and we'll make, you know, changes as we can, so I think it's good. I'm just wondering if it is worthwhile in this deck, because you're gonna send this out, to touch on some of those points for the parents. I kind of, based on what we were talked about, and just make sure that they understand this is what we've done for you, it's a ton of work. Here's what we need you to do for us. I don't want to miss the opportunity that you're delivering this message to them to do that to them, to say, listen, we need you to talk to your kids about social distancing. We need you, you know, this is a we thing. I thought it was really nice. I think it was SMA Athletics put up the other day, we are better together, and they had a picture on the site. And I was like, that to me is what this should be about. We are better when we are together, for, you know, virtually. And I was kind of thinking of the theme that we were going to do, or you know, adapt and overcome. Like, that's what this school is about. That's what First Aid is about, is that what we're going to hang our hat on. As you know, but we all need to adapt and overcome. We all need to be better together. So if there's an opportunity and we want to take, you know, on this deck and put that information in, that'd be great. Otherwise, I think it's a great start. It's very creative thinking. Thank you for all of that work.
I agree, Pat. I think there ought to be a slide in there, your responsibility as a family at First State Military, or something like that. And if you would share with Leslie and her team, that includes, I think, Glenn and Hansi, to make sure it's got that. But I think that's a great point, Leslie. Thank you. All right, Verity.
I understand that this is probably going to be a significant amount of work for teachers, and I don't need an answer for this now. I'm just kind of throwing it out there. If there's any way that us as a board can support the teachers, whether it's, you know, one day we buy lunch, or whether it, I don't know what that looks like, but this is, I mean, I'm just even thinking about them teaching virtually and then them recording again. I mean, this is complicated and it's new, and I know the directive is coming from us as a board, and if there's a way we can support the teachers, if there's any ideas that you guys have, I think that's something that we should look into.
I definitely will let you know.
Yeah.
Wonderful. Thank you. All right, online, Hans. Any more?
Nope, thanks. Great job coming up with a plan. I know it's a tough situation, and you guys have done a fantastic job.
All right, Reggie?
I'm good.
Okay. Katie?
I just wanted to also thank Stacey and the staff from Pat for coming up with a plan. It looks as doable as a plan, I guess, could be for hybrid. And I do want to second that I like the idea of doing temperature testing or checking in the beginning. And I know, Pat, you said you're going to work on the details, so I like that idea. And I'm wondering, are we still going to do Friday planning for teachers? Because I know that in the spring, I found that very helpful.
We are very aware of that, Katie. We are talking about that. Yeah, that is our goal. We're trying to work. We know that this whole virtual plan is really adding to the workload of our teachers. That is also one of the reasons, Katie, that when I spoke with all the teachers last week on Friday, that I'm making a very strict point to stay with our school day. I will be creating a communication plan because, you know, I want teachers to do, even if we're out on virtual, that, you know what, the school day ends. Checking emails and doing all these other things in the evening, if you want to do it, it's your call, your choice, but you are not required, because a lot of the staff said during the spring that they felt that they were working around the clock. So we really want to pay attention to those different things and, you know, encourage teachers to make, you know, positive changes on their end, that they make sure that, you know, if we're doing all virtual or all devices, hey, we got to learn to put them all down and get away from them. So, again, that's all those different things are important, and we've been discussing them, so.
All right,
so does that mean that we are going to have Fridays as planning?
Katie, that's the way it is on the schedule, yes.
Okay, I was just clarifying. And I think I heard Colonel correctly, but about the mask, that there'll be masks provided if the cadets either don't have one or don't have an appropriate one.
We have 2,000 masks sitting in the nurse's office. We also have over 50 face shields.
That's fine. All right, those are my only questions. Anyways.
Okay.
Was there anyone? Did Reggie have anything? Was he good?
Yeah, he said he was good.
Pat, well, Scott's not here. Are we good with our IEP students?
Yes, we're taking care of them.
Okay.
Bodily functions.
Oh, because he just ran to his car now. I'm like, oh, oh, okay.
A bio break.
I don't think so, because again, the other instructors I've talked to, mm-hmm. they have literally heard nothing from their schools.
Wow.
They're in waiting. I have one instructor who, his wife, he's been trying to move him here for a couple of years from the state of Washington. He's been in the state of Washington since the middle of March. Mm. He's been on a 5-month hiatus. Yeah, that's so.
So are we trying to do a Raiders team, but just with the thought that we may not have anybody on this
right? Team? We are looking at an integral approach. We talked about that, and we're going to try to develop it. So we may have something along the lines of a freshman Raiders team, and they compete against the sophomore, junior, seniors as best we can. Maybe they practice during the school day, and they compete after school. Mm-hmm. Something along those lines. Mm-hmm. Same thing with drill. Same thing with some other sports. So we're kicking some things around. It's just until we get started and running and see what we're really up against, it's always just say, yes, we're going to do this. It just is. I don't want to get any hopes up and then take it away. I'd rather not do it than add it in. Right.
Required to be in his cadet uniform for even for all virtual classes, so they did mandate that for the kids.
We talked about that too. Just about, okay, we're gonna do an inspection. And I can see you, so back up and let me see your uniform. Yep. Let me see how you look. Did you shave today? Those kind of, just to, yeah, we have kicked that around. Yes.
Yeah, they're quarantined to campus for 2 months. Nobody on or off campus, and then they're going to whatever class is not in person, they'll do virtually from their barracks room, and then they have to. I'm not sure how they'll do their instruction, but.
Sometimes you have to be careful what you ask for. So I'm not advertising some of that stuff, Nick. I'm not sure. It turned out to be more painful and pain than what it's worth. But the idea of being appropriately dressed, absolutely. I had a couple do that to me last year. You know, showing up in the white beater t-shirt, sitting on his bed and holding a pillow. And okay, no, that's not working. Stop. You're cut off. You don't get a lesson tonight. You know, kind of a thing. So we'll just, they get the message pretty quick. Some do that just to get a reaction.
Pat, a clarifying question. Are the teachers going to be on campus then? Or
that is planned.
Better get over.
All right. Where are we?
We're ready to vote.
Ready to vote. Cool. All right. So with that said, thank you guys. Sorry for the delay there for a few moments. I will tell you, Pat, Stacy, to both of you and the team, while it is not where we want to be, it is good. It is a strong plan. We're going to move forward. We're going to execute. I know we're going to adjust, but given, I think, what I'm seeing in some of the other traditional schools and some other schools, we've got an opportunity here to do some good. And with that, do I have a motion to approve the hybrid model as presented by the Commandant for the start of our school year in September? I got a motion from Chris. Do I have a second? I have a second from Leslie. Wonderful. Any further discussion on the motion before us? Anything on Zoom? Seeing none, all in favor, please raise your hand and say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Abstentions? Wonderful, seeing none. All right. Very well, guys. I think that brings to a close of this important and special meeting. And be aware, we do have another regularly scheduled board meeting on the 25th. I think we probably ought to do it, given we're going to be very close to starting school, and we do have some other things to talk about as it relates to building stuff and money and budget and all the normal things that are going on. So with that, do I have a motion to adjourn the meeting?
Motion.
I got a motion. Do I have a second?
Second.
I got a second. I think that was Hans I heard.
Correct.
Wonderful. And with that, all in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Abstentions? Seeing none. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for your dedication. Good stuff. We are adjourned.